Hey, this is Jeff Floyd, pastor of C3 Church Bathurst, and this is our podcast. Thank you for joining us today. C3 Bathurst brings life to people by helping them to be revived, restored, and released through getting to know Jesus and his people. We hope that this message will bring you life today. Well, good morning, everybody. See, I can't see if you're smiling or frowning. It's great. I'll just take that as a smile. Good fun. Well, let's dive right into the scriptures this morning. Come with me to Luke 9. We're trawling our way through the scriptures, the gospels, looking at the ways of Jesus. And with the premise that if you do life Jesus' way, life works. It's that simple. It doesn't mean that everything's smooth and everything's perfect, but life works better the ways of Jesus. So we've been extracting things out of the Gospels to make it really helpful for us to live Jesus' way. Life was meant to be lived his way. And this is a fun little passage this morning we're looking at. In Luke 9:46, I've got three passages to explore. An argument arose among them. As to which one was the greatest. The them are the disciples, Jesus' closest friends. They're on a mission, they're on a journey. They're all around Galilee. We're looking at the tales, what is it, the Chronicles of Galilee at the moment, I think it is. All the tales that Jesus told while he was in Galilee, this northern area. And as they're traveling along, Jesus can hear behind them the bickering starting. Parents, familiar with? You're driving in the car and anyway, an argument, like they're actually arguing. Who's the greatest? I'm the greatest. No, I'm the greatest. No, no. You should see what I did last. You should know I'm the greatest. I've got the moment. I've got this. And you could just imagine the conversation going on. Now, these are Jesus' friends. They've been with Jesus for a while now, but they're starting to argue. Who is the greatest? Now, when we say who is the greatest, what comes to your mind? I mean, on the screen here, we've probably have a little clue that from years ago, we have the greatest, perhaps. Here we go. Isn't it? I am the greatest. Muhammad Ali, Cassius Clay. Do you know? But we can all fill in our own blanks as to who we think is the greatest. Well, this word in the Bible actually translates as mega. And you can think of where that word comes from. Mega meaning big. It actually means having authority and wealth as well. But when we think it's the jostle to be first, isn't it? You know, which sports team is the greatest? Who's going to win the grand final? Which state in the state of origin? Which cars are the greatest around Mount Panorama? You know, used to be Holden and Ford. I've got no idea what it's going to be in the future. A bit more personal. We measure ourselves against each other, don't we? I've got the greatest. I've got more money than you. I've got more influence. I've got a better job, better house. So we are living in a world where we jostle for position. And actually, there's a reason for that. It's because we're actually called to be great. I want to show you something this morning. I'm not sure that Jesus was giving them a big rebuke because they're actually onto something. Who is the greatest? Stay with me. This is really fun. See, in Luke 9:48, it says, but Jesus, knowing the reasoning of their hearts, he's saying, hey, what? It's the reason, it's the method that you're going through that's wrong. It's not the aspiration to be great. Why do I say that? Because I see in the beginning of the Bible and the end of the Bible, people called to greatness. Look at this. In Genesis 1:28, here is our heritage. It says, God blessed them right back in the beginning when God made people, he blessed them and he said, be fruitful and multiply, fill the earth and govern it, reign over the fish and the sea, the birds and the animals. See that? Reign over, take authority over, be great over. It doesn't mean destroy it, it means care for it, but take command, take charge, reign like a king. See, we're called to greatness. Our destiny, it's in our DNA, that this idea that we are somebody. We're not a nobody. We are people. We're not just a mosquito. They're not called to greatness. No, they're called to be squashed. But it's not just our heritage. It's our destiny to be great. So that was the first book of the Bible. What does the last book of the Bible say about our future? Look at this, Revelation 5:10. You have caused them to become a kingdom of priests for our God, and they will reign on the earth. That's your destiny as people of God. It is to reign on the earth. It is to have authority, to rule. This is amazing. You and I are not called to be small, little people. We're called to be great. And that's why inside of us there's this jostle for greatness. Now it gets unhealthy, and the reasoning in our hearts is faulty, but the aspiration is actually right. And in this scripture, in the passages we've read this week, there's three really clear scriptures, three passages that really tell us how to be great. And I think summarizing, here's the bottom line, how to be great. You want to be great? It's make others great. That's how you be great. If you want to be the greatest, make somebody else great. Sound a little like, an American president. Let's make America great again. No, let's make others great again. This is the core of the message. And in these three passages I'm going to go through, these are the keys. Okay, let's go straight after this. When they're jostling and Jesus turns around them, as Luke 9:47, Jesus, knowing the reasoning of their hearts, he took a child and put him by his side. Now, a child in this context, don't think entitled Western children. Think kind of child they're not always that welcome around society, They're just there, they're playing around, but they're not really considered to be anything in the society. But Jesus pulls this child in and said to him, "Whoever receives this child in my name receives me. And whoever receives me receives one who sent me. And here it is. For he who is least among you all is the one who is great." Look at that. So here's the first thing to be great. Be the one who is least. It's upside down. Our world jostles for the strongest, the most powerful, the most successful. But Jesus says, actually, it's the reverse. The one who is least is the greatest. Like the child. Like the one there. And this word receive is amazing. It means to receive into one's family in order to bring up and educate. Adoption into a family. That's what that means. It means actually take care of somebody. And there are people in this church who do this. They bring people into their family. It's a beautiful picture of that. To receive someone into their family. But it's like anyone, it's like we say take someone under their wing. At work, you can receive somebody into your work. At school, you can take somebody under your wing. What a beautiful term. And help them in life, help that person to become great. You've started a new school. You're looking for someone to help you in, aren't you? You've started a new job. But somebody comes along and says, "Hey, well, this is how it works around here." It's a beautiful term. It's greatness. You make somebody else great by being the least, not being so much concerned about your own needs, but being concerned about the other person's needs. It's so different to our world, isn't it? We think success, sufficient, capable, entrepreneurial. These are the things that are lauded in our community. It's political power. The jostle to be prime minister or recently deputy prime minister. It's success in business. Think Bill Gates, Jeff Bezos, Warren Buffett, big people who've just been so successful. We think that is greatness. We think church greatness. We think amazing churches like Hillsong, Brian Houston, or C3 and Pastor Phil. Jesus says, become like a child. Do the opposite. Become the least. Become dependent. Become trusting. They're the hallmarks of children. Dependency and trust and wonder. You know what I love about this? I can do this. Like, I can't be a billionaire, probably. Probably because I don't really want to be. But I there's so many things I can't be, but I can be this. You see? See, Jesus said everybody can be great. You don't have to have, you know, huge intellect. You don't have to have great charisma. You don't have to have anything in this world, you know, parents who've given you money or whatever. Everybody can be great because everybody can make somebody else great by taking on people and encouraging them. I love it. You're great when you sacrifice some dollars to send overseas to the least of these. I love that. I've been watching this journey. It's amazing. You're great when you help someone move house. You're great when you say yes to looking after the kids for the whole of kids' church next door so we can be in here. Champions, Chris and Rachel next door. You're great when you're doing something for somebody that's designed to bless them. When you scheme, how can I help someone? How can I bless them? And then you follow through. You're great when you make coffee for someone at work. Bell. You're great when you smile at a neighbor. How simple. Can you do that? This is accessible. Greatness is accessible. I love this. Let's redefine greatness. Stop worrying about achieving greatness in the eyes of the world. Let's achieve greatness in the eyes of God. Let's make others great. Be the least among you, says Jesus. It's good for your soul. So that's the first one. Make somebody else great. Be the least. Second one in this series of passages that we're in is be one who forgives. It's the second thing of how to make somebody great. It's be someone who forgives. I'm picking on the Matthew chapter, Matthew 18, 21. Peter, they're on a journey in conversation, and Peter comes up and he says, Lord, how often will my brother sin against me and I forgive him? As many as seven times? So obviously there's been some argy-bargy, you know, because Peter's offended by something in the cut and thrust of disciple life. I don't know what's happened. And Peter comes to Jesus and says, well, how many times do I have to forgive him? And he says seven because, you know, they thought that three times was more than enough. So Peter goes, if I double it and add a bit, then that's seven and it's a good kind of religious number. So because seven, like, do you think that's enough? Like, that's a way beyond, surely. And Jesus said to him, I do not say to you seven times, but 77 times, or seven times seven. It's a bit confusing in the translations, but it just means a lot. It means keep going. It means don't count, you know, whether it's 490 or 77. It doesn't really matter. If somebody is asking you to forgive them, just keep saying yes. And Jesus tells this amazing story of forgiveness in that, which you can look at. But the question this morning, why is it great when you forgive somebody? What's the link there? How do we feed somebody? Here it is, because forgiveness changes people. When you forgive somebody, you release them from that thing, that burden that's eating them more than it's eating you. You can change people by forgiving them. When they're carrying guilt and shame over something they've done or something they've said or something they regret, and you just go, it's okay, I forgive you. Like, instantly, how does that person feel? You mean you're not going to carry a grudge? You mean we can be friends? You mean we can talk? Like, it lifts the burden off people. Forgiveness lifts the burden. There's this incredible story. You might have heard of the Abdallah family in Oatlands, Sydney. start of last year, an absolute tragedy. Four little kids are walking in Oatlands near Parramatta, down the street. Three siblings and a cousin. And a drunk driver in a ute cleans them up and kills them. It's just the most devastating thing you could ever imagine. Imagine losing three of your kids to this drunk driver. How would you feel? Plus their cousin. But this family, they know Jesus, right? Let me read to you something that happened last January. They had a Forgive Day. They started this little movement, Forgive. I'll just read a newspaper article. Leela, the mother, said her faith as a Christian had helped her family through the grief. She said, "We chose to turn our tragedy into a greater goodness. We chose to carry our cross with dignity. We chose forgiveness and love over hatred. Forgiveness is the greatest gift you can give to others," she said. Wow. Can you imagine a year down the track being able to say that? She said, this is SBS News I'm quoting. "We chose to turn a tragedy into a greater goodness. For non-believers, forgiveness frees up your emotions. It brings healing to a hurting soul, and it allows you to have peace in your heart," Ms. Adela said. "It starts in your heart, spreads to the family, and reaches to the community." Danny, the father, said he forgave himself and forgave the offender for the good of his family. What an amazing story. Would you have the courage to forgive somebody who had ruined your family? Forgiveness changes people. That young man in the car was forgiven, and it helps to lift that burden. I'm sure there's a whole lot of walking through that you have to do. But it's one step in the journey of making him great again. You can set people free. You can change the world. Jesus did. Jesus on the cross even forgave his enemies, right? Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. And he told us that's the extent of our greatness. You can actually even forgive the people who hate you. It's extreme. But you become a bigger person. You get a larger spirit, and you don't hold grudges anymore. It's the way of love. 1 Peter 4:8 says, "Above all, keep loving one another earnestly, since love covers a multitude of sin." You can just wash over things so easily. It doesn't mean not to stay safe or not to stay, you know, to remove yourself from manipulation and people who are going to hurt you. It doesn't mean to be in that position. It doesn't. But when things happen to you, you have the power and the freedom to forgive. So number one, be like a child. Be the least. Number two, forgive. This is all about greatness. It's how we achieve greatness, to achieve our destiny from the beginning to the end. And the last one, I like this one. Don't be competitive or exclusive. There's this story in Luke 9:49. The disciples, again, they look over and somebody else is doing something in Jesus' name. John answered, "Master, we saw someone casting out demons in your name and we tried to stop them because he does not follow with us. He's not one of us." But Jesus said to him, "Don't stop him. For the one who is not against you is for you." Don't you love it? See, the name of Jesus has power. But John and the disciples, they had exclusive rights to this power. Like, he's one of us. Jesus is our guy. What? How come other people have the same access to? No, that's not on. See, this idea of being exclusive or competitive. They've cast out more demons than we have. And these guys over here, they look like they've got more people around them. But what about us? This idea of comparison and thinking that it's only us. It happens today. other churches, other ministries. They're not one of us. They're not like us. So they're a bit weird over there, that mob in the building over there. We've got the truth. Or, you know, I'm not sure if we're doing as well. See, that's just going to kill real greatness, isn't it? See, humility and love for Christ. We'll just get rid of all that. That's why we celebrate other churches in this church. That's why we have combined worship nights. And that's why every second week we have a meeting out in our foyer with Anglicans and Catholics and Presbyterians and Baptists and Church of Christ and Hope people and Generosity people. I'm missing one. Evangelical church. You see, these are our friends. And I love it that Jesus says, he's kind of setting us up. There's going to be a time, guys, when I'm going to be in every single community. Don't try and make me yours only. Don't be exclusive and don't be competitive. Greatness is laden with humility because it recognizes the true source of life. Right? It's not us. Ephesians 2:10 says, we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in. God's got all this stuff for us to walk into. It doesn't make us lesser or greater that we walk in them. It's just our future and our destiny. I love this. Whether you're here in the room, whether you're online, in your bedroom, in your living room with friends or family or just on your own, I want you to close your eyes for a moment. Because this morning, I just believe that God is challenging us towards true greatness. To lift our eyes from the petty greatness of our world and to embrace true greatness, which is making other people great, which is really going to achieve our destiny, that one day we will be ruling and reigning with Christ. One day we will be great in that sense, but it's because we've learned the art of making others great and true humility. So this morning, here's the challenge I believe that Lord is setting out. Maybe there's just one, maybe there's three shifts that you need to make. But I want you to leave this room going, I'm going to make these shifts. I want to shift something. Maybe it's becoming the least. Maybe it's looking out for people in your world. Maybe it's embracing and looking out and taking other people under your wing. Looking out for those who are needy. And bringing them on a journey. That's becoming the least. Helping, supporting the children and the challenged amongst us. Maybe it's forgiving people. Maybe it's setting people free. And maybe it's setting your own emotions free. When you simply say the words, I forgive you. Whether it's as extreme as this family I mentioned losing their kids. Or just some silly thing somebody said that hurt you. Determine right now in the presence of God to forgive. Make them great by releasing them, by allowing them to be free from offense, and grudges, and bitterness. And you'll find that there's freedom that comes into your own soul because you don't hold those things anymore. Maybe it's just this idea of not being exclusive or competitive. It doesn't just apply to churches. It could be in any part of your world. Embrace others with humility. Recognizing the gift of God, not yourself. If you employ those three things, I tell you, you're going to be great. You're going to be great because you'll make other people great. People are going to flock around you. You're going to be an influencer, or a real influencer, not just something online, but really. You're going to transform people's worlds. You're going to be such a blessing and a carrier of hope and peace and love. Lord Jesus, I pray right now for each person online, each person in the room. If there's just one thing that they can carry, help them this week to transform something, to change something in their greatness. And I just pray, Holy Spirit, that you'd lead us all into true greatness. Thank you, Jesus. And just, you know, as we finish, we always just give people opportunity if this is a season for you to start your journey with Christ or to take up again your journey with Christ, this morning is a great morning to do that. If you've been wondering, how do I get on this journey? How do I get to know God? It starts with a prayer. It starts with a prayer of commitment and recommitment. And then each day is just living out that prayer. Each day is just an invitation to Jesus. Jesus, help me to live the life that you've called me to live. Jesus, come into my world today. Help me to live by your standards and your values. And walk with me and bring me your love and your peace and your joy and fill me on the inside so that I can be whole again and I can actually be a real blessing to the people in my world. It's a prayer and a day-by-day invitation that Jesus would live in your heart. So if you're online, I can't see you. If you're in the room, I can. Just wave at me. We're going to pray a little prayer and just start that journey. Anybody here? I could just pray. So Lord Jesus, come into my heart. Help me get to know you. I want you. Forgive me for the places I've just gone wrong. Set me free from that guilt and shame that I carry. And every day, help me to walk closely with you. Thank you that you love me. Come and fill me with your Holy Spirit this morning. Amen. Do get in touch if you just need any help in your journey with God. And I'll hand back to Roy. Hey, thanks for joining us today. We'd love to get to know you better. Come and visit us at one of our Sunday services in Bathurst, rear of 217 Howard Street. Have a week filled with life.